your Bibles with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And that song sang just a moment ago really was an encouragement. God is so, so good to us. That one sentence of that He's good to us even when we don't, when He shouldn't be. That's a good encouragement. So thank you all, ladies, and thank you, Brother Travis, for that. Thank you, church, for allowing me this opportunity to be able to be up here and to preach to y'all. And I hope this can be a blessing to y'all this evening. Psalm 119. And so I like to read a lot of news. I don't know about y'all, but I like to scroll through and look at different news articles and just see what catches my attention, and then I'll read that. Well, a while ago, I was reading throughout a bunch of news articles, and I found this one article talking about a lady who lived in Rome. But at the time she was in England, she had bought a brooch, okay? And this brooch really didn't look like much. It was kind of rusted over. It was really old, and in my opinion, ugly. It didn't look very, very good at all. But she paid $20 for this brooch at this market. Now, I personally wouldn't have paid anything for it, but no more than $5, okay? But she paid $20 for this brooch. Well, about 36 years go by, and she's watching this art documentary. And she sees something very familiar on this documentary, her brooch. She's watching it, and she's like, I think that's the brooch I bought. And sure enough, it was. It was a William Burges crafted brooch. He was an architect back in the Victorian age. And this brooch was not worth 20, but $30,000. And you can imagine her excitement, her thrill when she found that out. And of course, she sold it for that $30,000. Now, obviously, not all of us could relate to finding a $30,000 brooch for just $20. I wish I could relate to that, but surely all of us in here can relate to maybe doing some laundry and you're, you know, checking the pockets like you should, and you find a $20 bill that you had forgotten was there. And you find this $20 bill, and there's some excitement there. You're like, wow, I forgot this was in here. Now I can go buy lunch, or I can do whatever with this, but save it. You know, there's a sense of excitement when we find this valuable money. What I want to talk to y'all about here today is about something much, much more valuable than the $20 that you forgot was in your pocket. Much more valuable than a $30,000 brooch. And that is the Word of God. Something that is often neglected, something that, like this brooch, people look at it and they think, this isn't for me. You know, it's not very valuable. It kind of gets neglected, even by us Christians. And if I can admit to you today, I'm guilty of sometimes neglecting to read my Bible and appreciating the value that it has. But the reality is, this Word of God is so much more valuable than all the wealth that we could possibly think of. And that is what I want to talk to you about today. I want to encourage you to read it, to know it, and to show it in your life. Notice with me, if you would, Psalm 119, and we'll begin reading in verses 1, and we'll read down to verse number 8. Psalm 119, verse number 1, down through verse number 8, it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." Verses 1 through 8, we can see that blessed are they that know and keep God's statutes, or His commands, His word. Blessed are they that keep His statutes, for they will not be ashamed. And in verse number 1, it says, blessed are the undefiled. But who are the undefiled? Who are these people? Who are the undefiled? Well, that word undefiled means entire, integrity, without blemish, complete, upright, whole. Or in the context of this passage, another way we can put it is faithful. Okay? It's saying the faithful will be blessed. If you are faithful to do as the Word of God commands you to do, there will be blessings. God will bless you for reading, knowing God's Word, and then showing it in your life and doing it. That is what he's saying in this verse. But if there's the undefiled, then that would seem to indicate that there's a defiled group. Well, who are the defiled? They would be the ones that are not faithful, right? They don't obey the Word of God. They don't do what the Word of God says. They go off on their own path. They do their own thing. They don't have any desire to know the Word of God, no desire to do the Word of God, or they simply neglect to do the Word of God. And that group will not be blessed. So we have two groups. You either fall into the category of being faithful to the Word of God or unfaithful. And if you're faithful to the Word of God, God will bless you and bless your life. The verse goes on and says, blessed are the undefiled in the way. The way. Whose way? God's way. And it goes on and says, who walk in the law of the Lord. This verse is simply saying, blessed are those who are faithful in walking or doing God's law. Simple, right? Verse number 2 says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with their whole heart. I want you to notice that word keep. That word keep means to protect, obey, observe, preserve, or to do. It's an action. Okay? Keeping God's word is not as simple as just reading God's word. No, there's an action that you have to do. You actually have to follow through and walk and do what the Word of God says for you to do. It's not enough just to have the head knowledge. It's not enough just to come to church and know what the Bible says. We ought to be living it. We ought to be showing it in our lives. That is the word keep. So blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Another way that we can say it is blessed are they that do or act accordingly to his word. When reading this, I took note of that word seek. Have you ever sought for something? Have you ever sought for something? Something like a wallet, right? I know in my life, many times I have forgotten where I put my wallet. I have no idea where it's at. And believe me, when that happens, I am searching everywhere. I'm looking under blankets. I'm tearing apart cushions and everything. I'm looking behind curtains. I am trying to find my wallet. Because it's got my cash, it's got my card, it's got my ID. I need this wallet. Brother Gabe was telling me that just this past week that he had forgotten his wallet. Or just yesterday, I believe it was what it was. He was saying there was kind of an anxious feeling about it. He was very anxious about it. He wanted to know, where did it go? I need this. There was a burden, a weight about it. Because without it, it was very valuable. And it would be a weight for him to lose it. Just like in my life, another time where I was seeking something, but not very well. Okay, oftentimes I would frustrate my mom as a teenager, and sadly to say, even now, sometimes my mom would tell me, "Hey, I need you to go grab something out of the fridge for me." And so I'm like, "Okay." She'll say, "Hey, go, you know, get carrots or whatever it was," and I'll go to the fridge and I'll open the fridge. Sure, and I'll look at it for about half a second. I'm not moving around stuff. I'm not trying to actually find it. I just, you know, open it, look, well, it's not here. Shut it, go on about my day. Well, my mom would get frustrated at this, and she'd go back to the fridge, and she'd find it within just a minute or two of actually looking and searching for it. But how often do we treat the Word of God that way? How often do we kind of open it for half a second? Or we read over it, we glance over it, but we don't really put a lot of thought there. We're not really seeking for what it says. We just think about it. We say, "Oh, well, I know what it is. I don't really need this." And we go on about our day. How often do we do that? When the reality is we ought to be seeking the Word of God, much like Brother Gabe was seeking for his wallet, or I was searching for my wallet. I am looking everywhere, tearing apart the rooms of the household, trying to find this wallet. We ought to be seeking the Word of God. We ought to seek and know what it means. What does it mean for my life? How can I apply this? It's more than just opening it for just a second and then closing it and going on about your day as if you were good. We need to seek the Word of God. Sometimes we can do this very same thing with the Word of God of just opening it for a second when we ought to be looking deeper and thinking and contemplating, what does this mean in my life? And we ought to seek God with our whole heart, not just half-heartedly looking, but hopefully searching for the Word of God, searching, what do you have for me this day? Verses 1 through 3 talks about those who walk in God's ways and seek Him with their whole heart, as this passage says, they shall be blessed. Leviticus 26, 3 through 4 says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield their fruit. God is saying, hey, if you will obey my word, if you won't just know it, but you know it and then do it, then show it in your life, I will make you to prosper. I will bless you. I will bring rain in due season. I will bring blessings upon your life. That is a command in the Word of God. That is a promise in the Word of God. Deuteronomy 5:29 says, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. God is saying that He will bless the nation of Israel if they will keep His commandments, and that He will bless their children. But He also brings that promise to us today as well as Christians. If you will obey the Word of God, not just know it, and we ought to know it, but if you will obey it, if you will do it, then God will bring blessings upon your life. He will bless you and show you the pathway you ought to take, where you need to go. But it is your choice to actually go that direction. It is your choice to follow God. So you have to make that decision in your own heart. Do I desire to follow God, or do I just want to go about my own life? Do I just want to do what I want to do? We have to make that active decision of, I want to follow God, I want to know His ways, so that I'm going to seek after Him. I'm going to make an active choice to follow His will for my life. God will bless those who diligently seek and obey His word. Notice that in verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. That word diligently means vehemently, intensely, exceedingly. Or Webster's Dictionary says, a steady application in business of any kind, a constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken. Diligence is not a passive action. It's not just reading something. It's not just knowing something. It's actually putting forth the effort to do something. It takes work. It takes diligence to do something. Some of you will know this name, and many of you probably won't, but Brother Toby Hess is the maintenance man at Heartland. He's in charge of all the maintenance projects there. He's in charge of making sure that everything runs and operates smoothly at Heartland. Well, this past year at Heartland, it was super hot when we first got there. It was very miserable. And what made it much, much worse is typical Heartland, the AC didn't work. AC units broke down, and our dorms were having fans in there because we had no AC, and we were dying of heat in there. And Brother Toby was working endlessly on these AC units. He wanted to get these fixed. So he worked on the rooftops of Brown, of I believe the admin building, and he was working from sunup to sundown trying to get these ACs fixed. He had it set in his mind, I will not stop until this job is complete. There were people asking him, hey, you're working a lot. You're working very hard in the heat of the day. You might want to take a break. But he said, no, I've got to get this done. It's got to be fixed. Imagine it, okay? You're in a room. My room has 16 other guys in it. That is not a pleasant thing without an AC unit. Not pleasant at all. So he's saying, I have got to get this fixed. He was being diligent in the service. Well, and he actually ended up getting a heat stroke because of it. He worked tirelessly for this and ended up going to the hospital for a couple of days. And he's okay. He did fine. But I use that as an example of we ought to be diligent in our study of the Word of God. It's not just some passive thing. The AC units did not get fixed by him sitting on the couch hoping it to get done. No, he had to get up and go and do it until the task was done. There was diligence. He had to be careful about his business in doing so. And that is how we ought to study the Word of God. We shouldn't just read it We should study it. What does this mean for me? Who is writing this? How can I benefit? What is the action that I should take with what is being said in God's word? The passage goes on. The passage goes on and says, they do no iniquity. They do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Who are the they? Well, they would still be referring to those who keep God's commandments, as seen in verse number 2. But how do they do no iniquity? How is this even possible? Iniquity meaning like wrongdoing, sin. How is it possible for a human being to do no iniquity? We've all sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all understand that we are sinners in need of a Savior. So how does the writer of this book expect for they to do no iniquity? Well, he answers that when he says, they walk in his ways. If you are walking in God's ways, you are unlikely to do iniquity. And let me explain. If you're doing what the Word of God says, you will do no iniquity. Okay? I'll explain that in this. When you sin, when you stumble, when you fall into sin, it's not because the Bible said to do so. It's because you've walked away from what the Bible said to do. Or you're doing something other than what the Bible said. But if you do what the Word says, if you do what the Bible tells you to do, you do no iniquity. I think we all in here have the desire, at least I do, to not do iniquity. It breaks my heart when I sin against God. I wish to follow after God to do no iniquity, but in order to do so, I have to read God's word to know it, and then I have to show it in my life. I have to actually act upon it. I have to do as his word says, and that will keep my path where it should be. That will keep my path away from iniquity. We should have the desire to follow God, to keep away from iniquity. Not only is obeying or keeping God's word a good thing to do, it is something we are commanded to do. The Bible, even in this passage, says, read it, know it, do as the word says. James 1:22 talks about how we are not just to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. We are to be doing the word. We are to be acting upon what we hear, not just passively sitting in a pew. When Brother Pastor Steve preaches, do you leave the same? When you come in here and you hear Pastor Steve give a message, do you walk out those doors the same, or do you walk out changed? Each time we hear a message, we ought to think in our minds and think, God, please help me. And you should pray. Pray to God when you hear a message. God, how can I apply this to my life? How can I walk out of this building changed, something different in me, not the same, following after God? Notice with me, if you would, verses 9 through 11, and you'll see God can cleanse our way when we take heed, meditating, seeking to know and do his word. Verses 9 through 11 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Notice this, that I might not sin against thee. We are to be taking heed to the things that we hear in God. We should be taking heed. God is the one who has to cleanse our way. We can't cleanse our own way. We can't follow God's way perfectly. We need his help. We need to pray and ask God, God, help me to do no iniquity. Help me to follow the right path. And another way of doing that is to hide his words in our heart. It's not enough to just know what it says. We need to hide it. You need to grab the word of God, read it, memorize it, know it like the back of your hand, and hide it in your heart. You should have a desire to know it more and more every single day. And I want you to notice that word or phrase, taking heed, or take heed. All right, that word saying, take heed to the word of God. That's like saying, he's telling them, hey, I'm looking at the Word of God. I'm reading the Word of God so that when I see that my pathway is leading me the wrong direction, I will change my direction. I'm going to take heed to what I hear and act accordingly. Amen. When you see that you're going the wrong direction, if you just keep going, you're not taking heed. That we're taking heed, and I want you to notice this, okay? Please notice this. It is a choice and an active action. You don't take heed by just continuing on about your day, doing whatever you want to do, or just not doing anything. No, you take heed by actively saying, God, I want to know your way, and when I hear it, when I know that I'm doing wrong, I will change. I will go the way I need to be going. It is an active choice and an action that we must choose for ourselves. We need to be hiding God's word in our hearts. Notice verse 13. Verse 13 says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. We ought to declare God's word in our lives. God's word wasn't meant to just be hidden in your heart to keep to yourself. No, when you know the word of God, when you read the word of God, you should show it. Not just through your own actions, but you should show it to others. You should desire to say, hey, let me show you what God has shown me. Let me show you what God has done for me. Let me show you how he has changed my life through his word. The writer of this book says, I have declared all thy judgments with thy mouth. He wants to. He has a desire to share with others what he has learned from the Word of God. And so should we. We should share with others what God's Word has done for us and for our families and our lives. Notice verse 14. Verse 14 says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. We should rejoice at the fact that we have God's word more than any treasure or wealth of this world. Amen. To kind of tie this back into that story, but the lady who found that brooch. Or like you finding the $20 that you had forgotten was in your pocket. There's that sense of excitement, that sense of joy. But you know what should give us more joy than finding wealth? What should give us more joy than anything this world could possibly offer, that is the Word of God. We should love the Word of God. We should want to know it more, and we should want to follow the Word of God. Let me ask you, are you desiring the Word of God? Are you obeying the Word of God like you should? Because so often in my life, I don't treat this as the treasure that it is. Some days, I kind of just leave it on the bookshelf. And I don't read it like I should. I don't follow it like I should always. But do you realize here today what a privilege it is for us in the modern times that we have the completed revelation of the Word of God? Do you understand that prophets like Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, they longed, they had a longing, a desire for the completed revelation of God. They would have done anything to get their hands on what you're holding in your hands right now. Do you realize that? The desire that they had for this word. They wanted this, and right now you have access to it. But are you tapping into that access? Are you reading it? Are you knowing it? And are you living it? So often we don't treat the Bible as the treasure that it is, and we don't act upon what we hear from it. Notice verses 15 through 16. Verses 15 through 16 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Notice that again. I will not forget thy word. We should meditate on God's word. That word meditate means to ponder, to think about. We should put some thought into what is being read. Not just read it, but we should actually think about it. Contemplate on it. What does this mean? Okay. Talking to new Christians, often a comment I hear is, you know, the Bible is just kind of confusing. I don't know fully what it says. I don't understand it entirely. But a lot of the time, it's just as simple as thinking about it. Just stop. What is God saying here? And then pray and ask God, God, give me understanding. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me think about this. Meditate on the word of God. Think about it. We should meditate. He says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. How does the writer expect not to forget God's word? Honestly, how does he expect not to forget what the word of God says? I believe the answer is simple. By studying it. By diving deep. By reading it. By meditating on it. By memorizing it. He expects not to forget it. I love Brother Jesus' point last Wednesday. He made a very, very excellent point when he was talking about Brother Daniel, kind of jokingly and saying, I almost wish that we would be given memory verses to learn. He said, because I often find that I sometimes forget what the Word of God says, and I need that reminder. And he made the point that a lot of times we as Christians, we stumble into sin, we fall into sin, not because of rebellion, not because we hate God or that we want to do harm to Him or to our lives, but rather we fall into sin because we have forgotten what the Word says. We're not reading it like we should. We make major life decisions, major impacts upon our life without consulting the Word of God, without praying and asking, God, what does this mean for me? What does your Word say about this action right here? And by making those decisions without meditating on the Word of God, without hiding it in your heart, you can fall into iniquity. You can fall into sin. You can forget God's Word. It is a choice. And here's the deal. You have to choose not to forget God's Word. The writer of this book, he says, I will not. He's making that choice. I have chosen right now that I will endeavor to strive, to seek your word, that I might not forget it. I'm going to hide your words in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Saying, I will not forget your word. It's a choice that we all must make. If you want to remember the word of God, well, read it, study it, know it, and then show it. Don't just know it. Don't just have the head knowledge, but actually show it in your life. Show others the power of the Word of God upon your life. Be a witness to others. Notice verses 17 through 20. Verses 17 through 20 says, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. I want you to notice that God is the one who reveals truth of his word, and his word is a delight. Notice how verses 17 through 19, the writer is dependent upon God. Our understanding of Scripture ultimately comes from God, or from the illumination of the Spirit. The word illumination I just used there means to throw light on, to shed light on. We need God's help to walk the Christian life, to understand what the Word of God says. When you come to a difficult passage, don't give up. Pray. Ask God, God, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for my life? And we as Christians can sometimes read the Bible without being Spirit-led, Spirit-filled. We're just reading it as any other book, but we're not truly trying to tap into the power of God. We're not asking God, God, actually speak to me today. We're just reading it to check off a list, much like I was doing whenever I was following my mom's instructions to open the fridge, just checking the list. I wasn't actually trying to look for anything, right? We should strive to seek for things out of the Word of God. And when you do that, when you just try to check off a list, sure, you can see some things without the illumination of the Spirit. It's like a dark room, right? Your eyes get adjusted and you can see, you can make out shadows, but you won't be able to see clearly. If you want to see clearly what the Lord has for you, pray and ask God to show you His Word. Ask for His illumination. Ask for Him to shed light upon. The author recognizes this and asks God to deal bountifully with him, to open his eyes that he may behold wondrous things out of God's law. Notice verse 20 how he says, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Do you desire the Word of God that bad? Does your soul long to know God's Word? Brother Collins, a few weeks ago, did a message, and he kind of did this illustration talking about how he would write his now wife letters when they were, I'm assuming, engaged, right? He would write her letters. Why? To get to know her better. But I'm sure also it was an excitement to her to see those letters, to get to know him better, right? Both of them, they were striving to know each other better. They wanted to know. They had a longing toward one another, to know one another better. Their soul sought for one another. They had a longing, and it was an extra step, an extra mile that Brother Collins did when he was writing the letter. It wasn't just a text, right? It was a letter. It showed his appreciation. It showed, hey, I am really seeking to know you more. I want to know you better. And that is how we should be with God and his word. We should put forth effort. We should, again, be diligent in our lives toward his word and not just passively reading and treating it as if it's any other book, because this is not any other book. Notice verses 21 through 22, and I'm almost done. Verses 21 through 22 says, "Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies." Verse 21 says that God will rebuke the proud and those who do not obey his word. And the writer continues and then says in verse 22, "Remove me from reproach and contempt." I want you to notice two things from these two verses. Number one, we need God's help to remove the reproaches in our life, the shame, the sin in our life. We need his help to walk the Christian life. As Brother Rick pointed out this morning very well, talking about how we cannot walk the Christian life in our own power. It has to be with God. It has to be not only just through his Bible. This word, as again, very valuable, but it's not magic. It's God speaking through his word. That is the power. We have to pray and ask God, "God, give me an understanding of your ways. Let me understand what I should do with your word, and then help me to obey. I can't do this on my own. No one can do no iniquity," as that verse says. We are not capable of that, but with his help, we are. You have to pray and ask God, "Give me an understanding of your ways. Help me then to walk in your ways." And I want you to notice that there are two parties in this verse. There's the proud, who God will cast away. He's not going to deal with them. He says, nope. And then there's the writer. He says, "Remove from me reproaches." Why? Because I have kept thy testimonies. I have kept your word. I have followed through. I have tried to obey God. If you are trying to obey God, God will help you to walk. If you truly have the desire, but that's the thing, you have to choose. You have to have the desire to go forward. You can't remove iniquity from your life on your own, and you can't do that without actually choosing to follow God. There are many Christians today who don't really follow God. Again, Brother Rick pointed it out that there are Christians, but are they Christ-like followers? Are they Christ-like? Do they truly strive to know God? Do they truly strive to do better? In closing, again, I encourage you, view the Word of God as it should be, that it is a priceless gift to us, that we have the very words of God. How amazing that is. And I encourage you here today, not only just to read it, but to also know it, and then to show it in your life, act upon it. Why should man know and keep God's Word? Because doing so will guide him in the way he should go, causing him to walk closer to God. I'll close this out in a word of prayer. Dear Lord God and Heavenly Father, I thank you here today, and I thank you so very much for your word, dear God, and what a precious gift that is to humanity, and what an opportunity we have to get to know you more on a personal level through your word, and to follow and live the life that we should by obeying what your word says. I pray, as Brother Jesus had pointed out last week, that we won't forget your word, that we won't neglect it. I pray that you would remind us your word and help us to follow and do as it says. I ask and pray all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.